Psalm 29. While you're turning, let me remind you that we'll have a service this evening at 5 o'clock. We'd love to get you back. My son, who will be here with us, be preaching for us this evening. Jeremy's been here a few times preaching, so hopefully you can be back and be a part of that service. And then also, following the service, we'll have a brief baptismal service. We've got three candidates for that, and look forward to baptizing this evening just as soon as the service is over. It won't take long, but it's exciting to see these that will be baptized. We hope you'll be a part of that. Psalm 29, if you're able to stand one more time, let's do so in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Notice this passage is a wonderful passage. Jesus starts, the Lord starts out writing as He inspired David to write. And you'll notice that this passage would make a lot of those angry that really don't believe in God, because God takes claim in this passage of being the creator, and He names several ways that His power, His authority is shown in creation. And let's read it. He says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 3 says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. That is a wild ox. And the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh hinds to calve, that is deer, and discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth every one speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for the power that is demonstrated in this book that we have. And Lord, as we notice through Your words that have been given to us today, Lord, how You work in nature alone, how You work in the animals that You created, and Lord, just in the thunder and lightning that we see, all are demonstrations of Your power, Your voice, that lets us know that You're God. And Lord, help us to be mindful of Your presence here in this room today through the preaching of Your Word. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that is struggling with something that they need to get victory over, that they can find that they can do that, this is the right place to do that. And especially if there's someone that is filling that void in their heart of not knowing You as their Savior, dear God, that they can get that settled and would today. But we thank You for the preaching of Your Word and the privilege that I have to preach it. Now speak through Your servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We've been speaking on the subject matter of really how to know peace. Well, it starts with the desire, which everyone desires, peace of some sort, right? How to know peace is different. And we looked at that a few weeks ago, and we talked about to know Jesus is to know peace, is to know joy. And tonight, this morning, I want to look at the subject, and we just look at it and title it this way, and that is to know Jesus is to know the Word. To know Jesus is to know the Word. He closes in verse 11 and says, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless his people with what? With peace. But if you'll notice in the verses that we read in previous to this verse, it talks about really the voice of God and how God has demonstrated his voice in nature from verses about 3 down to verse 9, how we see God's voice demonstrated there in a powerful way through the waters and through thunder and of course through the creation, his animals, even through the forest as we see. It's mighty God's voice is. But he starts out in verse 1 and 2. It says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that's due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." In other words, worship God for the splendor of his holiness. And then he even reminds us that God, in verse 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. That's taking us back to the times of Genesis and Noah's day and what took place there and how we saw God's voice. God spoke it and it was done, right? And God still works the same way today. There are those that are trying to figure out nature today and how we can save the environment. And by the way, I'm all for trying to do better. If you want to recycle, that's fine. I still like drinking out of straws, though. I mean, I just don't know how. When I go to a restaurant, I went into one restaurant. I won't tell you where, but it wasn't long back. About a year ago, I went to a restaurant, and I sat down to drink my water, which I always get water to drink. And the lady set the glass on the table, and there was lipstick on the glass. And before then, I didn't really care about a straw. But from that point on, I decided I want to drink out of a straw. And you go out to Seattle and places like that. We were out there this year, and they don't give you straws. You have to ask for it because they're already into this mode of taking your straws away and things like that. So, but we laugh about it. But a lot of that is said. Well, we need to save the environment and things of that nature. But you know what? I'm thankful that God reminds us in this passage that he's in control of the thunder, and he's in control of the waters, and this mighty hurricane that just moved up the coast the other day. Did you see God's handiwork in that? I mean, how God just took and just curved that thing around and protected a lot of people in the U.S. Now, granted, we need to be praying for those in the Bahamas, and a lot of lives are lost, and there are people that are helping and ways that the Samaritan's Purse and other great groups out there are helping with those in Bahamas. But granted, at the same time, I was thankful to see how that thing took a turn. Now, the weather people, when you listen to the weathermen, they had it figured out. And when you listen to them, they were the ones that were turning this thing. And me and my wife were kind of laughing at some of that. We were watching the weather channel and how they were just, it's like they were in control of this. And we said, no, God's in control of this. And God reminds us in his word right here in Psalm 129 of the power of God. And really it talks about the voice of God, the power in God's voice. And I want you to understand this morning that there is power in the Word of God that we have before us. This book that we have before us this morning is not just an ordinary book, is it? It's not. Why? Because it's the voice of God that speaks to us. It literally is the voice of God that speaks to us. It's a powerful book. Now, we don't worship the Bible, but yet, we respect the fact that this is God's Word that speaks to us. This is the only way that God, this is the way that God has chosen to speak to us. God doesn't come to you in the middle of the night and speak to you in an audible voice. Now, if you're hearing a voice, it's not God's voice. Okay? God doesn't speak that way today. Now, granted, some might say, well, God has spoke to me in that still small voice. I understand where you're coming from. And I understand there in the quietness of the moment, it's like God is speaking. But the way that God speaks to us is right here in His Word. That's where, when you hear God speaking, it's going to be right here. When you open the Word of God, then you want to hear the voice of God, you hear it right here. That's where we hear the voice of God. So if you're hearing that still, small voice, most likely it's a passage of Scripture that's coming through your mind, or you're sitting down and reading the Word of God, because God speaks right here. It's a powerful book. By the way, God doesn't have to choose to speak in any other way. Now, He did in the early days before the Bible was fulfilled. He used men of God in a powerful way to in some forms to heal and so forth. But it all was to magnify Jesus. So you want God to speak to you? Get in His Word. There's power in His Word. And it's a powerful book. The Bible is not man's book. It is God's book. And as such, it's like no other book. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick." It means that word "quick" in Hebrews talks about it's a living book. But he goes on to say the Word of God is quick, it's living, and it's powerful. It means that word "powerful" in that verse means it's active, it's alive, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God's Word is living, it's active. It goes on to say it's a discerner. In other words, that word "discerner" in Hebrews 4:12 means God's Word is able to judge what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your, what you're thinking about. God's Word is a book of comfort, isn't it? I like when I can open the Word of God and be comforted when I need comforting. God's Word is comforting. It's not just comforting, but it's nourishing. You go to your pantry in your house and you look for something to eat when you're, boy, you have to have those late night, what do you call them, where you just, we just got to appease that appetite, whether it's chocolate or something like that, and you go and you look and you just can't find it. Well, you know what? That never fails with God's Word. You can always find something in God's Word that's nourishing, that something that you need, but you got to get into it. You know, if you come to church and you think, well, that's why I come to church, preacher, for you to give me what I need. Well, you know what? It's not my job to give you what you need. Now, God may use the message to speak to us, which I hope that's what happens today. But if you really want to be nourished, you want to find comfort, you want to find strength, listen, it's got to go. You got to take some time, right? My kids on my school bus, I don't hear a word out of them. Not one word. I have teenagers that I drive for every day because they have a phone right in front of them. Now, they're not allowed to talk on it. I don't allow that. Although now there's ways they can get around me and fool me. They've done figured that out, okay? And I know it, but I still have to let them know you can't do that, all right? But you know what? They're into that phone. Now, I'm not for all that, all right? I'm okay with having a phone because I do it too, but yet, you know, if we spent time with God like that, can you imagine? Can you imagine what would take place in our life if we would just give God that? If you're not giving God any time right now, I always encourage, give Him 5 minutes. Give Him 5 minutes a day. Start there. That's a starting point. And then find yourself increasing that time with the Lord. Now, God's Word is a book of nourishments. It's a tool of judgment. You know, sometimes that's why people avoid it, because they know that they're going to read something maybe that's going to cause them to feel guilty or convicted. Well, the guilt is not of God. God doesn't make anybody feel guilty. God convicts people. Guilt is something Satan likes to use. But we are under conviction sometimes. When you open the Bible, you're going to have that conviction. But understand, God's Word is a tool of judgment and execution for those who have not committed themselves to Jesus. God's Word will expose and shallow beliefs and even false intentions, won't it? We see that. God's Word exposes who we are. Who we are. I can hide from you. You can hide from me. But boy, Have you found it to be true that you can't hide from God? Have you ever opened the Word of God and it's like, God, who told you that? Who told you that's what's going on in my life? Who told that about me? Surely the preacher must have said something. I get blamed for a lot of stuff sometime along the way. I had nothing to do with. Matter of fact, I've had people walk out of here mad. I've been here, again, 30 years. I've had a few people mad because they thought that I was preaching that message right at them. And they'll tell me. I've had a few that really that just said they wasn't coming back. I said, why? Because you were preaching, you were preaching something at me. Well, I didn't know. And you know, God has a way through His Word, whether it be a preacher, through a preacher, Sunday school teacher, whether it be a setting down, if we'll allow God to speak to us. There's power in the Word. There's power in the King's Word. To know Jesus is to know the Word. So this morning I want to declare just a few ways, three actually, that we can know and how we can know the power or the authority of the King's Word. Number one, we can know the King's Word is powerful to deliver. We can know the King's Word, speaking of God's Word, is powerful to deliver. Matter of fact, missionaries, to show how the Word of God is delivered, they have to go to a field. And that's one, you got to understand, a missionary goes to a field, the only thing that they have as far as their weapon or their defense or their the message that they carry is the Word of God. They go there with the Word of God. Now, they need, obviously, funds, as we'll talk about this week, to get there, support. But, you know, these missionaries will tell you, the biggest thing that you can do for them is pray for them. Pray for them and be a part of their mission's outreach. But, you know, they're going there to deliver the power of the Word. And believers can relate to the fact of what missionaries are trying to do. Missionaries are going to the field to deliver the King's Word to those who are in poverty. In poverty. Now, as we know, every flag flying represents people around the world, right? They do. Thousands of people, hundreds and thousands of people around the world. But they're going to help deliver people out of poverty. I don't mean, taking them food. That's maybe part of the process. But their poverty that they're going to deliver is Christ, much like that you were most in this room were in at one time. I was in that I was faced with that kind of poverty at one time. When I trusted Christ, though, I came to Him as helpless, as hopeless, as bankrupt sinner. That's the way I came, didn't you? Bankrupt meaning I had nothing of lasting value. But now I have a home in eternity. Praise God for that. I have no doubt that when I die, because I have Jesus, I have a place for eternity. I was reading actually this morning that the next fear, this person was trying to put fear, and it probably is something to really think about, that something that we could very well face in our country is somebody coming in and attacking electric system? What do they call that? Grid. And attacking that. And we lose all of our power. We lose all of our power. Can you imagine what life would be like? With no power, no cell phones, no computers, no way to go to the bank and use your credit card. No way to buy food. There's a lot of things. And that's something that, yes, they're saying that we need to be concerned about. That could be the next big attack. We think of nuclear bombs. No, that's probably not going to happen. Because they know that may only affect one or two places, but something like they're talking about will affect everyone. And could, over time, cause death quickly. But, you know, when you think about those things, you have a tendency to want to worry. But if your faith and trust is in Jesus, as many of us have done, then we know that God obviously is going to take care, number one, of His children. But we have a home. for eternity. The Bible tells us that we're saved by grace through what? Faith. The moment I placed my faith, the moment you placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you were what? You were born again. Born into the family of God. Someone said the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, means God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, I'm glad I'm a child of the King, aren't you? And He'll provide for my every need. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Praise God, I've been delivered, and praise God, I hope you have been delivered from poverty. From poverty. We don't know poverty in this country when it comes to doing without. Many of us don't. Now, you can go to places like Seattle, Washington, and New York City, or you can go to San Francisco. Most of the they're having problems with people on the streets that are literally have their tents and camped out. A lot of it's not due to poverty. A lot of it's just due to their own drugs. And they're hooked on drugs. When we were out in Seattle, sadly, downtown Seattle, you had to be careful where you walk because there's drug needles on the ground. Downtown Seattle. Matter of fact, we watched a guy one evening taking the street vacuum and just vacuuming up the sidewalks. Have to do that every day, sometimes two or three times a day. It didn't used to be that way. We've been to Seattle several times, but the last few times we've noticed the change gradually that's taken place. There's that kind of poverty that's taken place because there are people without Christ. They're like that around the world. We have it in our country. We're seeing more of that. And what is the remedy to that? Well, God is the only one that can deliver from poverty, that kind of poverty. And it's through Jesus Christ, knowing Him as your Savior. Believers can relate to the fact that not only does the King deliver from poverty, but the King's Word delivers from prison. The King's Word delivers from prison. Genesis chapter 41, verse 14, if you recall, Joseph was found in prison. But it says in Genesis 41, verse 14, "Then Pharaoh sent, and he called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment, that is his clothes, and he came unto Pharaoh." Well, King Pharaoh sent word, and Joseph was released from prison. What a relief that must have been. When you got saved, wasn't it a relief to be released from what we would consider prison as the only one, being shut in and not having the liberties that we know? But when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there's real liberty, isn't there? There's freedom like we've never known, and praise God for that. John chapter 8 and verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We were all at one time, before we came to know Christ as Savior, those that know Him, were held captive by Satan. He was your father. He was my father that I followed before I came to know Christ. Why? Well, because we were captive. But praise God for King Jesus. Praise God for King Jesus who set us free through His Word. Some of you were saved maybe early in life because somebody preached the Word or somebody took time to sit down with you and show you from the Word of God how you can be set free from that prison that you were in. Satan had you bound, right? Thank God for the power of His Word to deliver us from the prison that we're faced with. Not because we deserve to be set free, but because He set us free simply by believing in His Word. In His Word for deliverance. He set us free. You can be free this morning if you don't know the King of the Word. The King of the Word sets us free. The King of the Word, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, they were set free. They were a burning fiery furnace. And there was one that showed up in that fire. There's a fourth person that came in that fire. Who was it? It's Jesus the Lord. Set him free. Praise God for that. So that's the same thing with us. You were in your sin state and headed to a devil's hell, and praise God that Jesus came along, and wherever you were at that time, if you are saved, He came along and He set you free from Satan's bondage. The same thing took place with Daniel in the lion's den, and Noah and his family as they were placed in the ark from the flood, and then Jeremiah from persecution, and David and Goliath from Goliath. And you can't leave Paul out. Paul here on the road to Damascus, and we know, we just looked at that Wednesday night and how God saved him there in Acts chapter 8, as he's had the greatest terrorist that ever lived in his time, but God came to him and saved him, set him free from prison. Being a believer, we can relate to the fact that the King's Word delivers from punishment as well. Delivers from punishment. We're saved by grace, by the grace of God, aren't we? Thank God for His grace. You see, grace is God giving us something good that we do not deserve. Grace is God giving us something good that we don't deserve. And what is that? Well, that's salvation. The gift of salvation. We're saved from hell by the mercy of God. Preachers, there a literal hell? There sure is. I've never been there, and praise God, I'm never going to go there because of my faith and trust in Jesus. But there are people in hell today because they have rejected the free gift of salvation. We've talked about that last week. How God doesn't send people to hell. They go there by their own choosing, by rejecting the free gift of salvation. And you see, God's mercy, though, if God's mercy is withholding us from something bad that we do deserve. We deserve hell. But it's God's mercy, as He demonstrated through His grace, that withholds that. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word of His mercy. Psalm 119 verse 41 says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord," David says, "even thy salvation according to thy word." Now, second point, the King's Word is powerful not only to deliver, but would you agree with this? The King's Word is powerful to direct. Our missionaries are going to the field to deliver the Word of God. There's power in the Word, and that's what people around the world need, right? They need the Word of God, but they also need some direction. And missionaries are going there to help give direction through the Word of God. And Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Praise God for that. Again, the admonition in that verse means that God's word is the one that will be that lamp that we need to guide our path. So often we get in trouble because we try to do it on our own. There are people trying to find their own way to heaven. There's only one way. It's through Jesus. Living a good life is good, but that's not going to get you to heaven. You know, there are a lot of people that are trying to find their own pathway. But we have to seek out the Word of God and believe it. You see, believers relate to the fact that the King's Word directs our beliefs. The King's Word directs our belief. Sadly, people today are confused on what to believe. And really, I can understand why. Not only was false teachers prevalent in Jesus' day, but they're probably more so even in our day and time. Again, with technology and ways to get into lives and the homes of people. And used to, again, parents could control what their children listen to or watch. But that's almost where you can't even accomplish that anymore. I don't know how you can. I'm glad my teenagers are up and gone and out of the house, be honest. Because we stood over them. And I don't mean that bad. We were just trying to guard them, as any parent that does that with their kids. I know some of our kids may not think that. If you've got a parent that's just, they want to know what's going on in your life, thank God for that. You will one day. I'm watching my youngest son, Johnny, yesterday. He was at the house. Had a little Keegan. And Keegan's not a year yet. Is he? He's a year. Okay. At least. Had a little Keegan. He's rocking him in a chair. And Dad's sitting over there looking at son rocking my grandson in the chair. And I'm thinking, he now knows what it means to be a parent. he now knows, because I'm watching him as he's, his little Keegan's running through the house now. He's starting to run. How Dad is running after him to protect him, to keep him from getting into something he shouldn't get into. Well, that's just the baby stage. That doesn't stop. That doesn't stop. You know, you're going to still, and teenagers, if you have a mom and dad that's running after you like that, they love you. They're trying to protect you from the one who's trying to get you, and that's Satan. And that was our goal as parents in raising our kids. And now they're beginning to see why mom and dad sometimes had to say, hey, you can't go there. Or you can't have that. Or you can't do this. Well, why? Everybody else is doing it. Well, I don't have a reason. It's just... And by the way, I always told my kids, I don't answer why questions. You know, that sound... Now, some questions I might had to, but when they start asking why, would they really knew the answer? I don't answer those questions. I tell them. I have that happen to me on my school bus. The kids will ask, you just know the next response is, why? They already know the answer, so I don't answer those why questions, those kind of why questions. But biggest thing we can do, parents, is love our kids. Teach them the Word of God. Now, one day, I trust they'll respect that, as we would as believers. Now that I'm a believer, but before I was a believer, I'd get into the Word of God, and I couldn't see myself following that. But now that I'm a believer and I read the Word of God, I see that, listen, I need to be following that. Right? And we need to all do that. The King's Word is powerful to direct. The King's Word directs our beliefs. Now, we're a Baptist, Bible Baptist, most of us here. That simply means that our focus is upon the Word of God. As Bible Baptists, we're focused on the Word of God. It does make a difference what we believe. Would you agree with that? And the Word of the King will direct us in every area of our lives. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with what? With all thine heart. And lean not into thine own understanding. He says in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, speaking of God, and He'll do what? He'll direct your path. But are we taking time to acknowledge God? One day we might, but that may be too late. Or it may be that... I read in the paper the other day, and I think this was local, close to being local, somewhere in Alabama, that a dad and a son were both arrested and sent to prison. And my thought was, where did that dad go wrong? And I read the article. I saw where he went wrong. He was out selling drugs. Well, he went to prison for like 20-some-odd years. The son, where did he go wrong? Well, he's out selling drugs too. He didn't go to prison as long as Dad, because he just started out doing this. And he went to prison, I think, for 7 or so years. But I'm thinking, wonder if that dad could have helped that son. Wonder if that dad could have maybe been a better example to that child growing up. We see that every day. But obviously that dad failed that son. And the son... Now, granted, the son, he deserved prison. He broke the law. He can't blame it on his dad, although his dad could have been a better influence, right? Would you agree with that? And should have. What a sorry dad he was. But yet, when it comes down to it, we stand before the judge. We stand before the judge, and the judge says, hey, you broke the law. What? Judge, my dad didn't raise me right. Sorry, you broke the law. You knew what was right, what was wrong. You broke the law. This is the punishment. Church, the same applies when it comes to one day there's going to be a judgment seat before God. And we won't have the excuse, if you're a lost person here today, you won't have the excuse, well, you know what? They didn't tell me that at church. Nobody took time for me. Well, listen. Did you ever read it or hear about it in the Word of God? Well, yeah, I went to church a few times, but listen, God has a way to speak and share His Word to all of us, just like around the world. We need to send missionaries, don't we? Because they need to hear the Word of God, the power of His Word. Just like we take the time, it's important. Listen, Mom and Dad, I know it's hard to get up sometimes and go to church. It's hard to be that example. But boy, these kids today, they need God. They need church. And sometimes we fail whenever our kids don't turn out right. It's our fault. But you know what? You raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You've done your best as a parent. You can't necessarily blame yourself for that. Maybe we can all say as parents we could have done some things better. I know I could have. But yet it falls back on that young person as we stand before God to give an answer. We can't blame anyone else. You see, the King's Word directs our beliefs. It does. God's Word directs what we believe. The King's Word directs our behavior. Last week we spoke about knowing Jesus is to know love. The true love of God will direct our behavior, much like the Word of God shows us how we should behave toward others, right? How we should behave toward our government, how we should behave toward our family. The Word of God shows us all of that. All of these and more are found in God's Word. There are answers there. And matter of fact, Paul's instructions to Timothy cannot be improved upon when he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, all Scripture, that word all means what? All. The word all, it means all. That's all means, right? I heard that in college. I like that because that's what it means in the Bible. All means all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, God inspired it. And he goes on to say, by that inspiration, it means to God breathed it out. God spoke it himself, not man. By the way, the apostles, the men of God that God used, which was well over 40 men of God to write the Word of God, they were not inspired. They're human. God sometimes used their human abilities. We see Luke, he was what? A physician. When he writes, we see some of his writings, he talks like a doctor, right? Doesn't he? Matthew was a tax collector. When he writes, sometimes he talked like a tax collector. They were not inspired. They could not be inspired, but there's only one who was inspired, and who is that? God. But God did use these men. He spoke to them His inspired Word. They just wrote it down as God says, do it. They were kind of like the secretaries. And you know what? God says, okay, that's good. That's what I want you to say. God spoke it. And it goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, the King's Word tells us what is right. The King's Word tells us what is wrong. The King's Word shows us how to make things right and how to keep it right. Praise God for His Word. And then lastly, the last and third point. Did I give you? Okay, third point. The King's Word is powerful not only to deliver, but it's also powerful to direct. But thirdly, the King's Word is powerful to what? Destroy. It is. Missionaries are to show how God's Word has the power to destroy. When they go to the field, they've got to preach the whole truth. And believers can relate to the fact of what missionaries have to do and what we must do even here at home. And that is, everything that exists we have to know was created by the Word in the beginning. In the beginning, God created and God said, in other words, and He spoke it, right? John repeats that truth. John repeats that truth in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. The mountains are created by God for His glory. I mean, the beauty of nature all remind us of the handiwork of God, the power of God. You see, in the book of Revelation, God spoke with power and authority concerning the end times as well. Because you see, the king's word is powerful to destroy. There's going to be an end time. Paul tells us that in his word that he spoke, as God inspired him, that in Colossians 1:17, that God's the one that holds things together. It says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. God holds things together. Consist means that. That he is the one that holds things together. It's not the environmentalists out there that are trying to tell you, do away with your straws and, you know, and everything else. God's the one that's going to take care of things in the end. We can live better. We can improve on some things. But listen, when it comes to it, we can know that this world, the way we see it, is going to come to an end. One day he's going to speak and it's going to be destroyed. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 says, the heavens shall pass away and a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be what? Burned up, God says. All that we know of this creation is going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed by the same word that created it. The enemies of God will also be destroyed. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his what? Of his coming. Revelation 19, 21 says, and the remnant, that is the rest, were slain, they were killed with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So there's going to be a day of destruction. Now, praise God, if you're a believer, you won't be here. If you believe in the rapture, right, we'll be out of here, but there will be a time where there'll be no more. The same word that created is the same word that prayed, Father, forgive them. Jesus is the Word. And when Jesus hung on that cross, what did he say? Father, what? Forgive them. You see, one day, those who reject Jesus are going to be condemned and rejected by God to an eternal hell. Matthew 25, verse 41, our last scripture says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Aren't you thankful if you're saved today that you know Jesus? You say, preacher, you're just trying to scare me to get saved. No, if I could do that, I would, but I can't. That wouldn't work. Listen, you have to come to Jesus on your own. If you know Jesus, praise God for that. But you see, what convicts our heart is the power of His Word. It directs us. It delivers us. And one day, the Word of God is going to destroy. Do you know Christ this morning? If not, it's not too late. Praise God for that. Right, believers? It's not too late to give your heart to Jesus. And I invite you to come. Let someone show you from God's Word how you can know Christ. Would you stand with me with heads bowed? And Christians are praying.